Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Mike Rohn. If I have a choice, I like to do business with companies that actually stand for something. That's why I switch from Verizon to Pure Talk. No offense to Verizon, I'm sure they stand for something. I just don't know what it is. Pure Talk, on the other hand, is a veteran-owned company that supports our military in a big way, and I appreciate that. Yeah, I also appreciate unlimited talk and text and plenty of data for half the cost of the big guys, and I do like being on America's most dependable 5G network for just $20 a month, but what I really appreciate is no contract, no cancellation fees, and Pure Talk's commitment to handle all their customer service in this country. I saw it for myself. I went to Georgia, I got a tour of their headquarters, I met their CEO, and I talked to the same customer service folks that you'll talk to when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Switch today and save 50% off your first month when you dial #250 and say keyword micro. Pure Talk. A wireless company that actually stands for something.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House says President Trump was noticing mild swelling in his lower legs, and doctors who evaluated the 79-year-old diagnosed the president with a condition called chronic venous insufficiency. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says it's a common condition for people over 70.
The president underwent a comprehensive examination, including diagnostic vascular studies. Bilateral lower extremity venous Doppler ultrasounds were performed and revealed chronic venous insufficiency, a benign and common condition.
ABC News medical contributor Dr. Alok Patel has more on the diagnosis.
There's many different reasons of why this may happen. There are certain risk factors, such as family history, old age, obesity, pregnancy, and underlying medical conditions. And the test that we heard from the White House press secretary about looking at heart health, those tests, a Doppler, which looks at blood flow, are all standard when it comes to assessing this situation.
This is ABC News. In Georgia, police say a man is facing multiple criminal charges, including criminal trespass, after he reportedly snuck onto the runway of the country's biggest airport. ABC's Steve Osunsami has details.
Police say the man cut a hole through the perimeter fence at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta on July 9th and then walked onto the airfield. A worried eyewitness called 911. That call led to a search of the grounds with police dogs. It was the sharp eye of an airport maintenance worker who led police to the suspect, spotting him lying on the grass near a runway. Police say he had bolt cutters, wire cutters, and pliers.
In Maine, an arrest in the case involving the death of a paddleboarder. Maine State Police say the 17-year-old suspect was arrested near Crawford Pond, east of Portland. That's where the body of Sunshine Stewart was found earlier this month. Wisconsin and Illinois in the crosshairs under tornado and severe storm watches today. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Progressive knows when you're in your RV, you're already on vacation. That's when you become Vacation You, who just camped where there's absolutely no shade. Even though regular you burns easily. In fact, vacation you burns too, but is too stubborn to admit it, which is why regular you gets in trouble at the dermatologist, because vacation you doesn't do doctors. So bundle your RV with your home or auto policy and earn an automatic discount from Progressive. And spend the savings on the both of you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Body of a 13-year-old boy who went missing Tuesday in a Sheboygan area lake has been recovered. Sheboygan Fire Chief Eric Montanello said dive teams had trouble combing the bottom of the water at JC Quarry Park.
The way the rock walls are, there's a lot of crevices, so the sonar can't always go in there. So we had to send our divers in there, and that's the most painstaking because they're doing it all by hand and feel, and the visibility was less than a foot.
Parts of JC Quarry are up to 50 feet deep. The poor water quality forced teams to call off the search Tuesday night. The victim hasn't been identified. Court proceedings are suspended for a Janesville man accused in the fatal stabbing of his 8-year-old sister. In Rock County Court Tuesday, a doctor hired by the defense testified that 22-year-old Davian Lathrop suffered from unspecified psychosis on the schizophrenia spectrum. Judge Jeffrey Kuglich.
At times he's been engaged, other times he's been totally disinterested. Intense staring at certain people in the courtroom.
Kuglich found Lathrop wasn't competent to stand trial. He'll be held by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services for treatment until he gains competency. Activity at the Port of Green Bay is off compared to last year at this time.
Shipping totals were still lagging behind last year in June, according to figures shared by port officials. Last month, the port had 137,725 tons of materials and raw goods passed through. That's above May's total, but year-to-date totals are 47% lower than at the same point of last year's shipping season. Port Director Dean Hain notes the season's slow start continues to affect this year's overall volumes. A total of 15 ships visited the Port of Green Bay in June. So far this year, 32 vessels have stopped the port. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A fall feel today with partly cloudy skies and highs only scraping the low 70s. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and warmer, highs in the mid-70s. And then showers and storms are expected to swing through overnight. A darker and damper day on Saturday with more sunshine expected on Sunday. Need a new bathroom? Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 68.
Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome in to a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Glad to have you with us for the conversation about what is happening in farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in a moment with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. In segment two, we saw an extension of the 45Z production tax credit in the One Big Beautiful Bill. We're going to get an update on where things stand with 45Z and more. Mitchell Hora from Continuum Ag will join us to discuss that in segment two. After the bottom of the hour in segment three, the U.S. has withdrawn from the tomato suspension agreement. We're going to get an update on that with Robert Gunther from the Florida Tomato Exchange, and then we'll look at news headlines to close things out in segment four of today's AOA. So again, a lot to get to here on the show. Let's kick things off and talk markets with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, good to talk with you again. Hope all is well.
Doing great, Jesse. Picked up 2 inches of rain here in northeast Kansas. Didn't get hit as hard as Kansas City, so we're feeling very blessed this morning.
I was going to say, I saw some video and pictures from folks and a colleague in Kansas City that looked like some nasty weather rolled through there overnight. And I know we've been watching the weather in terms of the markets and been picking up some good rains in some pockets that needed it here this week. But I know some areas still missing out. And by and large, these markets, these grain markets, it's been an interesting trade to watch here as of late, Mike.
Yeah, and that begs the question is, you know, kind of like before July 4th holiday, why are we moving higher on what looks to be really needed big crop rains coming through and more expected later this week and into the weekend? And it makes me wonder whether we're not trying to carve out potentially a demand low in this market, Jesse, because we last saw that WASDE report show really no backing off on the demand side of the equation. And the market is now looking maybe at the idea that we can get past these bigger U.S. yields that the trade's been talking about and look a little bit less nervous acting when it comes to the trade deals. And maybe we're going to get some good news from the trade deals. That seems to be the feeling that I'm picking up right now. minus the wheat, the corn and beans have been able to essentially move higher on short covering, even with the weather not underpinning markets, but actually probably putting more pressure on it at this stage. So we'll see if the weekly export sales, which pretty tough on the corn, marketing year low, only about 4 million bushels, down about 89% from the four-week average. We'll see if that gets tested, this mindset that the demand's coming back around because we've gone low enough.
I was going to say, I know a lot of technicians have been pointing out this week that we hit some downtrending channels in Dease corn, Nove beans, for instance, and we've kind of been bouncing off those and holding a small reversal here this week. And to your point, you know, maybe we have hit a commodity demand low. Maybe we've gotten low enough that these markets are ready to bounce. But also, again, to your point, we got to have the demand, I think, to help move us back to the upside here.
Yeah, we really do. And I think this is where before this bounce with gaps above us, with Dease corn gap at around 433 to be filled and Nove bean gap at around 1044 plus to be filled. If we can fill those gaps, what would allow us to go on higher? And I think that really is where the demand side of the equation comes into play with the sentiment of the tariffs. And I think that's been the biggest issue that we've had to contend with as far as why investment funds continue to hold such a large net short position in corn and why end users are probably not buying much. And wheat's a great example of that. We had a pretty decent weekly export sale number in wheat, nothing to write home about, but decent. And yet we have the wheat still near its weekly lows this morning, even though Russia has joined the rest of the Black Sea and their cash prices for wheat out of the ports are at a 1.5 month high. So there's a disconnect there. I would put it at the tariff issues for the most part.
We're talking with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics. And on the case of the wheat side, I know you've been tracking global weather when it comes to wheat. Any thoughts with what we're seeing, especially in Europe and the Black Sea region? Could that play a role in maybe giving us some more support in the wheat complex?
Yeah, I think in 10 days we'll know a lot more about whether the Ukrainian corn crop in particular, and this is left over, as you say, from the wheat crop and what was happening in the early spring, early to mid-spring time period, very dry conditions in Russia and Ukraine. Rains did come through. The Russian wheat crop was reportedly, at least what we're hearing, saved from the drought areas, from other areas getting rain. But we still have a Ukraine issue. And I would say at this point, 10 days from now, if they don't get some decent rains with the kind of temperatures and the way the crop looks and pictures that I've seen this week, they're on the path towards a 2012 type scenario when it comes to yield potential. So we're really stacked up there on the upside in terms of production. They're the fourth biggest exporter in the world right now for 25-26 marketing year. It's certainly something to keep an eye on, I think.
Mike, how about over in the cattle complex? Let's talk about that a little bit. Futures had a really tough start to the week Monday. We bounced Tuesday, Wednesday. What are you tracking across this entire cattle trade, whether we're looking futures, cash, et cetera, right now?
Yeah, the cutout continues to drop, and it continues to be weaker, not a surprise seasonally. The export sales this morning didn't do much to help us, down about 30% from the four-week average. I think it really boils down to the cash trade again, Jesse, whether we can come in and do better than 230 on cash steers with a 223 futures, and the market says, well, we're too cheap in futures. We need to take this market up again. I'm more concerned about the feeder cattle at this stage of the game, given this corn rally, given the fact that we still don't know when the border's going to open for screwworm and a couple other big issues. I think feeders have more downside potential once those funds decide to let go of their record net long.
I should ask you as well, any outside market anxiety with all the back and forth between President Trump and Fed Chair Jerome Powell? I believe as we talk right now, the Fed chairman is still in his post, but I know that could change on the drop of a dime. I mean, what have you been tracking there this week, Mike?
Yeah, it's going to be a fight right now, I think, between in this time period and next May when his Fed chairman's term is up, Jesse. What we want is a weaker dollar. What we don't want are higher bond yields, because that's going to force our interest rates higher. That's probably going to keep a lot of investment money out of the riskier assets. But there's a huge disconnect right now in the outside markets between Wall Street and LaSalle Street. There's almost no fear on Wall Street about the tariffs. We've priced in a lot of fear on LaSalle Street. So watching that as well.
All right, Mike, if folks want to reach out to you for a conversation there at Global Commodity Analytics, what's the best way to do that?
Best way is to go to globalcomresearch.com, and it's globalcom with two M's, research.com. You can sign up for a free two-week trial. We'll get a hold of you once to see if you like what you are looking at, and we'll take it from there.
Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us here to kick things off today on AOA. Have a great weekend, Mike. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. You do the same.
I will do that. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, with us here for Markets on Agriculture of America. Coming up next, what is the latest on the 45Z Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit? There was an inclusion of that in the One Big Beautiful Bill. We're going to get details and have a conversation about it with Mitchell Hora from Continuum Ag. He joins us next on AOA.
Cats are masters at using up their nine lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Give us a call now, and we'll create a plan of action for you that we guarantee will work. Stop the harassing phone calls. Stop the threatening letters. Stop wage garnishments. Stop any bank levies. And most importantly, put an end to your tax nightmare once and for all. If you have a tax debt of $10,000 or more, call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-337-8179. That's 800-337-8179. 800-337-8179. Call now.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, amid the many pieces related to agriculture that passed in the One Big Beautiful Bill and was signed into law on July 4th, One of those things important for the biofuel industry and for farmers broadly is the 45Z Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit. What is in the big, beautiful bill regarding 45Z? Let's talk about that. Joining us now, he is CEO and founder of Continuum Ag. Mitchell Hora is with us. Mitchell, it's good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Yeah, you bet. Glad to be on and happy to share some exciting news.
Let's dive into this. And I know you've been studying this inside and out. What exactly is in the one big, beautiful bill regarding 45Z? Let's start there.
Yeah. So number one, what's most important is that 45Z is in the bill. A lot of other components of the Inflation Reduction Act, of course, got cut. But 45Z has strong bipartisan support and it is alive and well. Specifically, what's in the bill is 45Z got extended through 2029. So it is a tax credit for biofuel production in fiscal years 2025 through 2029. So it is in effect right now. They restricted to USMCA feedstock. So feedstock only from US, Canada, and Mexico, really restricting Chinese used cooking oil is the main component of that. They are eliminating the recognition of indirect land use change. It's an outdated concept that is just really bogus for U.S. agriculture and especially corn soybean production. So ignoring that, which is fantastic and helps lower biofuels carbon intensity score across the board and gets a lot more facilities below the threshold of a CI score of 50 or at least close to it. And a lot more facilities will now be able to participate and participate quickly. And then a very important component that also is locked in is the transferability of the tax credits. So locking in that a biofuel producer can create the tax credits and they can sell them on the secondary market, especially important for those biofuel producers that are, you know, farmer-owned co-op style of production where the tax liability is passed on to the partners or to the shareholders. Very, very important to have transferability of the credits. All of that stuff got done. So all a ton of positives for biofuel producers and for farmers.
Yeah, there was a couple things there that I know have been big sticking points. You mentioned the UCO, the Chinese used cooking oil. And then, you know, when it comes to the CI scores, I know there's a lot of talk about those as well and farmers being able to qualify. So, I mean, maybe from the farmer perspective, talk about that a little bit more with these updates that have been passed. How could farmers capitalize on this opportunity?
That's still part of the unknown. So we got the bill locked in. Now the IRS needs to finalize the rules. And there was some progress made by the Biden administration, specifically the Department of Treasury and the USDA. We know that there is already progress being made by this administration. They've spoken very positively about it. They've spoken very positively about including farmers and sustainable farming practices and calculating the carbon intensity of the feedstock. We know the intent of the IRS and of this administration is to ensure that this is a good program for farmers and biofuel producers to collaborate together. But unfortunately, we don't have those final rules yet. So in the short term, a farmer needs to know their CI score, which can be done for free. You can use our software at topsoil.ag or Google, you know, calculate my corn carbon intensity score. You'll figure it out. It can be done for free. And in just a couple minutes, you need to utilize. We don't yet know exactly what calculator is going to be used, but we preferred utilizing the U.S. Department of Energy's GREET model and anticipate that that will be used or a version of it. But really it boils down to a farmer needs to manage their data, understand their CI score, begin communicating with their ethanol plant or their local elevator that they have low carbon intensity corn. They understand that there's no money moving right now, and farmers need to understand that. The tax credit rules are not yet locked in. The law is locked in. The program is locked in, but we're still awaiting final guidance. And until that happens, there's going to be very minimal money moved, if any at all. And but we can start gathering the ag data now. That is absolutely what we encourage doing, because in order to pass through this, it's anticipated that farmers and biofuel producers will have to undergo annual audits to verify the carbon intensity score. Continuum has already done that on a pilot basis. We did 29 million bushels already, but it really all boils down to know your data and know your CI score.
We're talking with Mitchell Hora from Continuum Ag. What about from the industry side of this? Biofuel producers, ag companies, et cetera, as we've kind of alluded to, it was almost a best case scenario with what was passed here, the one big beautiful bill, it seems. So talk about it from the industry perspective. How do they benefit?
Yeah, the biofuel industry has got a lot of great wins here recently, and kudos to those associations that have been really doing great work. The alcohol to jet pathway or ethanol to jet pathway needs some more improvements. So they've got some work to do, but overall biofuels are looking really good. What I'm telling our buddies in the biofuel industry is, hey, we need to start gathering this farmer data. You need to start educating your producers. We need to start gathering CI scores and start gathering all this data. It's a lot of work. It takes time. Effort. So we're encouraging those biofuel producers, talk with the farmers in your supply chain, bank on maybe this is going to be a mass balance system, meaning that the corn that is delivered to the ethanol plant, the carbon intensity score has to stay in association with that corn. There could be a book and claim approach taken, which is what we are advocating for, where the farmer's carbon intensity data can be decoupled from the physical corn, and therefore farmers would be able to sell their, we call them CI certificates, but essentially a farmer could sell their low carbon data, like a carbon credit, to any biofuel producer. But in the short term, a biofuel producer should be looking at the farmers already in their supply chain, farmers who already delivered to them 2024 crop that they're turning into 2025 biofuel. You got to start there and gather that farmer data, start educating them, working with them. A software like Topsoil can be your platform where you can gather all that data and get it through the anticipated ISO 14064 audit. But it really boils down to, we got to start moving the progress forward. We've got 6 billion bushels of U.S. corn and soybeans that's going into biofuel in calendar year 2025. And as 45Z happens the way that the law is intended, the way that we know this administration intends, 6 billion bushels got to get through an audit between now and tax filing next year. And that's going to take a tremendous amount of work. But we're ready to go, and we're already doing it now. We've proved the concepts, and now it's time for everybody to take action.
Definitely a lot of work lies ahead. Couple minutes here, Mitchell. Final thoughts. I know that in general, just with the way the farm economy is right now and more, I know producers and industry are continuing to look for more ways to expand profitability, and a lot of talk surrounding 45Z and more and CI scores. This is a way for producers to add more to their bottom line, right?
Absolutely. A lot of talk, you know, that this could impact the family farm by an increase in revenue of about 10 to 15%. It's a big deal. And that's really why I'm pushing so hard. I'm seventh generation farmer here in Southeast Iowa. We farm corn, soybeans, rye, and wheat. And this is a big, big deal for farms. A lot of financial opportunity here and a tax credit that does a lot of good for our rural economies. I think we need to collaborate. We need to move the needle forward. We cannot squander this opportunity. We've been given a huge gift here by our elected officials, and we need to thank them for it. We need to thank them for sticking up for family farms and for the biofuel industry. Yeah, we don't have the rules. We don't have all of the, all the T's crossed and I's dotted yet. But man, we have got to start moving the needle forward, educate farmers, gather the data, figure out how we are going to capitalize on this. We've got just a couple years. We need to make sure that we don't miss out on this huge opportunity. And I think it's going to create a massive positive ripple effect too, beyond biofuels, ripple effect into the animal ag sector, ripple effect outside of corn, soybeans, ripple effect outside of the U.S. The concepts that are being developed here for the 45Z program are absolutely where the puck is going. The carbon markets and stuff are shifting, and they're really shifting more in this direction. So I'm excited for the opportunity here and to do our part to play a role and try to ensure that farmers get their equitable share in this, and that the biofuel industry can make a bunch of money here as well. And that's going to drive a stronger ag economy and stronger rural, just stronger opportunities for rural America.
Great thoughts. Real quick, what's that website again? One more time, Mitchell.
Topsoil.ag is our software, but if you Google anything about 45Z, Mitchell Hora, Continuum Ag, we got a tremendous amount of info out there. Happy to share more as well. We do webinars all the time.
Mitchell Hora, founder and CEO of Continuum Ag, thanks for joining us here on AOA to tell us more about 45Z. Appreciate it.
You bet. Always a pleasure.
Up next, we're going to talk with Robert Gunther, the executive VP of the Florida Tomato Exchange, next on AOA.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope, their hope.
A softening of a tone.
It's never too early to think about next season. With Alcivia's Verity Input Financing, you can lock in crop inputs early, manage cash flow, and stay ready to act when opportunity knocks. Flexible, farmer-focused, and built to protect your operation from risk. Let's set you up for success in 2026. Visit Alcivia.com or call Alcivia today at 608-819-4401. 608-819-4401 and plan with confidence.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 27 to 1773, September up 9 to 1827, October up 4 to 1865, November up 7 at 1860. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets for the day, they were mostly lower as the trade now starting to take some of those profits back until they see more fundamental support from the markets. And box beef prices were lower. That also added to the pressure in cattle. Hog markets, though, were mostly higher as it appears that a bottom may have been established somewhat, and stronger pork cutout values also helping to support prices. August live cattle down 22 cents to 223.67. August feeder cattle down 57 cents to 325. August hogs up $1.40 to 105.82. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets were mostly lower on the day as the outside markets were relatively quiet. They didn't provide much of an influence. The weather for corn, at least for some of the production, at least in the near term, is looking good, but some of the long-term weather forecasts are starting to show a little bit of heat and dryness. However, not enough to really help the corn markets move higher. Soybeans, though, were higher on that extended forecast of hot and dry weather. New crop corn down 3 to 421. New crop beans up 6 to 1026 and a half.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
Being America's farmers and ranchers in form, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
welcome back to Agriculture of America as we continue today. This is a topic we have covered before on the program, and we want to get an update on this. The U.S. Commerce Department has announced it is withdrawing from and terminating the 2019 agreement suspending the anti-dumping duty investigation of fresh tomatoes from Mexico. Here to tell us more about this agreement and why it's important the U.S. has walked away from this is the Executive Vice President of the Florida Tomato Exchange, Robert Gunther. Robert, welcome back to the show. Hope all is well.
Jesse, thanks for having me back on. Yes, it's a much brighter day for the domestic tomato growers after this decision on Monday.
Well, tell us, just give us a refresher to start for folks Sure. who maybe aren't aware. What exactly was this agreement, Robert?
Yeah, so this goes all the way back, actually, to 1996. The U.S. And Mexico have maintained a series of these what's called suspension agreements. And what they're really supposed to do is they're designed to prevent Mexican tomato producers from selling tomatoes in the U.S. at below market prices, as many of your listeners probably know this is a practice known as dumping. Basically, these suspension agreements set a minimum price that Mexican tomatoes can be sold in U.S. market. Despite multiple revisions, I think we talked about this before, the agreements have really failed to protect U.S. tomato growers from unfair prices in Mexican imports. That led to the decision on Monday, on July 14th, is when the Commerce Department officially terminated the agreement, citing its ineffectiveness and its harm to continue to cause American growers. As we've seen, declining production, declining market share, declining amount of growers and their employees and acreage dedicated to fresh tomatoes in the U.S.
So now, looking at this termination of the agreement, talk about this and talk about, from your perspective, why it's important for domestic tomato growers here in the U.S. that we've terminated this and walked away from it, Robert.
Yeah, I would say that obviously the domestic industry really applauds this long overdue termination of the agreement. And really, we appreciate the decisive steps taken by the administration to end the tomato suspension agreement. I think it shows, quite frankly, that the government is serious about enforcing U.S. trade laws and protecting the stability of the supply chain. This agreement, as I mentioned, has been renegotiated five times already, you know, over the last 30 years. And again, we've tried to make this work, and unfortunately, the Mexican industry has, found ways to work around this this agreement. And, we've looked at undercutting, prices by illegally low prices on imports and by dumping. And the government found that in 2019. They found that it had impacted significantly the domestic industry. And therefore, that's what led us forward today. So we do applaud this effort. It's long overdue. It was a necessary step to help maintain a strong supply chain for domestic growers.
Now, I'll ask you this, Robert. I know I've seen a little bit of chatter from the other side of this issue on social media and in various articles and more. Some folks contend that this could potentially drive up the price of tomatoes and things of that nature. So, I mean, your response to some of that backlash that's maybe out there, and then a second part of that would be, do we have enough domestic supply of tomatoes here in the U.S. to supply our grocery stores, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I think the issue related to prices and things like that, supplies and prices, is really based on false data and based on false assumptions that are out there. I know the industry in Mexico, the importers in Arizona, U.S., in Arizona to Texas, frequently look at a couple studies that were done by Arizona State University and Texas A&M University, which really do not react or do not assume that the real case scenario. They're basically saying that tomatoes would stop and thus prices would go up in terms of imports into Mexico or imports into the U.S. from Mexico. That is outright untrue. We will continue to see a strong supply of tomatoes coming in from Mexico that will also complement the tomato growers grown here in the U.S. You know, what this really does is creates a much more fairer playing field and stabilizes the market for the American tomato producers, so they can have the confidence to continue to grow here in the U.S., but also eventually be able to enhance their operations here in the U.S. and bring some of that acreage that's gone away from tomatoes back into tomato production.
We are talking with Robert Gunther, the Executive Vice President of the Florida Tomato Exchange here on AOA. And, you know, something that I'm curious about as well, as we look at this and look at, you know, adding to and ramping back up U.S. tomato production even more, you know, there's been so much talk about immigration enforcement and workers, farm workers, for various specialty crops and, you know, things of that nature. Is that something that is also a concern to you in the industry here as we, you know, look at moving past this suspension agreement and bringing in tomatoes from Mexico, but looking domestically here? Is there concern about ag labor challenges in the tomato industry, Robert?
Jesse, I think that concern is, as you mentioned, across the board in terms of labor supply in mm-hmm. all fruits and vegetables and other specialty crops that are grown here in the United States. It's going to be a challenge. We hope that Congress and the administration will continue to look at ways that they can help enhance labor supplies in the U.S., including redoing and re-examining the H-2A program and how it can be more beneficial and more widely used in the U.S. In Florida, I can speak to that. In Florida in general, with the tomato growers in Florida, you know, we have a very robust H-2A program that we use across specialty crops in Florida, which is, again, to some of your listeners, is the government's guest worker program for agriculture, domestic agriculture, that they can bring in workers from other countries to work temporarily here in the U.S. and then they go back home and then come back the following when the next season is here. We think, you know, the H-2A program has worked very well for our growers. I know a number of them are using that, not just in Florida, but across the country. And also in Florida, we've had a very, you know, strong state E-Verify program. So, you know, in terms of our industry, at least in Florida, we're very confident that we have a strong labor supply. Because we've been really following the rules and applying those rules to the way that we source our supplies, our labor workers.
So thinking about the labor piece, thinking about ramping up more production of tomatoes here in the U.S., another thing I'll ask you to kind of weave this all together and, you know, thinking about this suspension of this U.S.-Mexico agreement, but what about potentially U.S. exports of tomatoes as the industry by and large? Is that something that the industry may look at growing further now that we're seeing all this emphasis on new trade deals and frameworks and more, Robert? What do you think about that?
That's a great question. Yes, we actually are looking at that. Right now, our primary export market is Canada. But we are starting to look at other markets potentially that could help, create a strong, vibrant tomato industry and create prices that are fair and continue that growth. As we continue to see growth in the domestic industry, I think we will be looking, and we already are starting to look at what other markets might be out there. I think you're right. I mean, this administration, this government, or this Congress, this administration, and I think future Congresses, future administrations will look at trade as a critical component for U.S. agriculture and specialty crops in particular, where there's so much pressure right now coming in from the import side. Again, not just on tomatoes, but across the board. You see that consistently throughout the markets. If you look at the domestic production versus imports across the board, you know, we are always looking for new export markets to help our growers expand their production, expand their growth, and their economic opportunities.
Robert, final minute here. Anything else you would add or reiterate to folks on the show today?
I think that we've learned a lot from this process. I think it's time to start thinking about how we move forward as an industry. I know the domestic industry is looking to move forward on this. I think that, we've got to find, when we say we want a fair level playing field on trade, that's what we want. And that's what we've gotten with this decision. Unfortunately, some did not follow the rules of law. And now they're being penalized by that. Penalized with an anti-dumping duty. In baseball, I think we just had the, on Tuesday was the Major League All-Star Game in baseball. And usually it's three strikes, you're out. In this case, they had five strikes. And now it's time to have to, pay that duty for dumping over those last 30 years.
Well, we'll stay close on this issue and get updates as needed. Folks can also go to FloridaTomatoExchange.com for more information with that. Executive Vice President of the Florida Tomato Exchange, Robert Gunther, thanks for joining us here on Agriculture of America. Robert, have a great weekend. We appreciate the time.
Great, Jesse. Thanks so much. I'm always here to talk.
Robert Gunther with the Florida Tomato Exchange joining us here today on AOA. Coming up next, we'll take a rundown of some of the latest headlines in agriculture. Back with more here on AOA right after this.
You know a thing.
Working as a dedicated Fidelity advisor, I always ask, what's important to you? I'll look at those priorities and goals alongside your full financial picture to build a comprehensive plan designed to help grow and protect your wealth. With proactive portfolio insights and an eye on taxes, I'm here to help you make the most of your money. I'm Laura Maxwell, and I'm a dedicated Fidelity advisor. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. The next time you're out to dinner with friends, you can order the shrimp cocktail for the table. And maybe you'll realize it only comes with four shrimp after you've already given away three, but that one shrimp will be so good. And if you switch and save hundreds, you could get shrimp all the time. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shrimp. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-473-9933. 800-473-9933. 800-473-9933.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
...using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Amid all the ongoing economic uncertainty in farm country, new research shows that farm bankruptcies have already exceeded last year. Welcome back to AOA. Jesse Allen with you here. Let's take a look at news headlines as we close out today's program. And more U.S. farms filed for bankruptcy in the first 3 months of 2025 than during the entire 2024 calendar year. That's according to new research from University of Arkansas Extension economist Ryan Loy. The information shows that the 259 filings in the first 3 months of this year are the most in any year since 2021. Loy said, quote, "We've already beaten last year in terms of national filings just in the first 3 months of this year. Once you see this on a national level, it's a clear sign that financial pressures that we saw before in 2018 and 2019 are reemerging," end quote. Now, a large part of the pressure comes from the fact that commodity prices are back where they were in the 2018-2019 era. Adding to that pressure are high input costs for seed, fertilizer, pest management tools, and diesel fuel that never seem to decline much or for a long period. Now, in a somewhat related report, the American Bankers Association has released its annual Farm Bank Performance Report, highlighting the critical role farm banks played in supporting U.S. agriculture in 2024. Despite continued challenges from global uncertainty and lingering supply chain disruptions, farm banks posted solid financial performance, improved asset quality, and increased lending to America's farmers and ranchers. The U.S. banking industry remains the single largest provider of agricultural credit, holding $205 billion in farm loans by the end of last year, accounting for nearly 38% of total farm lending nationwide. Now, of that, farm banks held $115 billion with a focus on small microloans critical to rural producers. Now, according to Ed Elfman, ABA's Senior Vice President of Agricultural and Rural Banking Policy, he said, quote, "Farm banks continue to be a cornerstone of rural America's financial well-being. In 2024, these institutions demonstrated the strength and resiliency that comes from deep community roots and a commitment to farmers and ranchers," end quote. So you take a look at that Farm Bank Performance Report from the American Bankers Association, coupled with that new research on farm bankruptcies that I was just talking about, and there's a lot to unpack there, but by and large, there is plenty of uncertainty amid the current state of the ag economy across farm country and rural America. And it's something we're going to have to watch closely, as it doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon here in 2025. Well, rural radio and weather alerts were in focus during dueling Senate press conferences this week on President Trump's proposed funding clawbacks known as rescissions. Republicans consider the president's $9 billion package, including just over $1 billion cut from public radio, a down payment on the nation's deficits and DOGE cuts.
What we're talking about here is 0.1% of all federal spending. 0.1% of all federal spending. That's 1,000th of the federal budget that's included in this rescission package.
But Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota says it's needed, with more likely later, to get the nation on a more balanced fiscal footing given its $36 trillion debt. But three Senate Republicans and all Democrats opposed debating the bill, given the president's proposed cuts to public broadcasters PBS and NPR. Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
This time, targeting local news throughout the country, including in rural areas that lack broadband and other options. To be clear, losing access to local news, radio, and weather alerts, particularly in rural areas, is not popular.
And that's especially true given the timing.
And these cuts couldn't come at a worse time, right now, after we're seeing the devastating tragedy in Texas, and we're left with even more questions about what the cuts to the Weather Service and to FEMA, what effects they had.
And Republicans ultimately moved ahead on the bill this week with a tie-breaking vote for the vice president, but objecting Republicans feared recurring White House rescissions and any Senate changes that still need to get by fiscal hawks in the House by a Friday deadline. Well, USDA has rolled out a new plan to boost meat and poultry safety this week. Farm and Ranch Media's Corinne LaRue joins us with more in this report.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has unveiled a new comprehensive plan designed to strengthen the USDA's efforts to reduce foodborne illness. The announcement came during the opening of the agency's newly upgraded Midwestern Food Safety Laboratory. The initiative, intended to enhance the Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS, which oversees the safety and labeling of meat, poultry, and egg products. The plan outlines several actions, including increased microbiological testing, more robust inspection oversight, modernized tools and training for inspectors, and stronger partnerships with state agencies. It also seeks a more realistic and impactful strategy for addressing salmonella in poultry products. Rollins says, quote, "We're charting a new course in giving consumers confidence that their meat, poultry, and egg products meet the best-in-class food safety standards. I look forward to continued collaboration with states and food producers to protect public health," unquote. Industry groups are backing the new direction. Senior Vice President of Scientific and Regulatory Affairs at the National Chicken Council, Dr. Ashley Peterson, says, quote, "America's chicken producers appreciate USDA's common sense and science-based approach to achieving improvements in food safety. We share the department's goals to further reduce foodborne illnesses and promote public health, with an emphasis on reducing regulatory burdens," unquote. Peterson also applauded USDA's decision earlier this year to withdraw the previous administration's proposed salmonella regulations. She says, quote, "As it was proposed based on misinterpretation of the science, it would have had no meaningful impact on public health, would have led to an extraordinary amount of food waste and increased costs for consumers and producers. We thank the secretary for her leadership and the agency's commitment to finding a more effective and achievable plan to combat salmonella in U.S. poultry products," unquote. I'm Corinne LaRue.
And thank you, Corinne, for that report. And that's going to do it for a look at Ag News headlines here today as we close out AOA. Coming up on our next program, we're going to learn about Mahindra Ag North America's military salute giveaway. Their CEO, Viren Popley, will join us for a conversation. We'll also explore the topic of agro-terrorism with journalist and radio host Steve Gruber. And we'll look at markets with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing. All of that and more coming up on the next AOA. For now, thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Another teenager fell victim to fake pills. Smells like big crime that needs to be stopped. Where are these pills coming from, and how are kids getting them?
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Jake from State Farm. I just beat my running PR, so I'm celebrating with a banana bonanza smoothie.
Hey, and you can keep celebrating when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. Go bananas.
I will. Hey, make it a large.
Bundling. Just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
The entertainment you want. The information you need. Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Plum City, Elkmount. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand. Real Country.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the White House says President Trump was diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. The persistent president underwent vascular testing, and results were within normal limits, according to the White House doctor.